We're still talking about, you know, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking about guidance of the Holy Spirit. Guidance of the Holy Spirit. What did I say is the topic? Guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let's say it together, everybody. Guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our text is Romans 8:14. For as many as, Romans 8, not Revelation. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. So if we're not led by the Spirit of God, it means we're really not our sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The converse is also true, that if we're not led by His Spirit, we're on our own. And so it's important that we know how the Holy Spirit guides us in life, because we have no other guide except Him. We have no other guide except Him. And His guidance is so important, because we have a lot of traps that the enemy sets up. Many of them you can't even understand, you can't even know that He set them up. But the Holy Spirit guides us away from all of that trap, and then guides us into the path of still waters. Amen. Look at Jeremiah 5:26. Jeremiah 5:26, King James Version, says, "For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men." They catch who? Men. That's what I was saying on Sunday. Exactly what I was saying on Sunday. He said, "For among my people are found wicked men." That wicked people, they lie in wait as one who sets snares. They set a trap, and what are they catching? Men. That's what I've said on Sunday. Some people are just not clean. That's who they are. And you find them everywhere. And so we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be able to escape this type of trap. Some of them look so religious. Actually, the Bible says that the devil looks like the angel of light. Even his ministers look like the ministers of the gospel, and they talk like the ministers of the gospel. But there are traps that trap men. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says we should be careful how we live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And then in 1 Timothy 3:7, in the book of Timothy, the Holy Spirit uses the word snare about 3 or 4 times. The snare of Satan, about 3 or 4 times. 1 Timothy 3:7, just let's take that one. I'm done reading. Say, "Moreover, he must have also people outside the church must speak well of him, so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's what? Trap." Which means the devil sets trap. He says trap. He says trap all the time. So we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then, like he said, he will deliver you from the trap of the fowler. A fowler is the old English word, like foul. Somebody who causes foul. Foul, when you are playing football and you tackle somebody, they say it's foul, which means you did wrong. So a fowler is somebody who produces evil. So he said he will deliver us from the trap of the fowler. There's always trap of the fowler. And because it's a trap, you don't know it's what? You don't know it's what? It's a trap. That's why you get the rat. He doesn't know it's a trap, but he kills him. So we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with all these traps of Satan and that he sets all over the place. And that's why the Bible says we should walk circumspectly. we should walk carefully. Like where you have tongues, thistles all over. That's why we should not be careless. That's why we should be vigilant. That's why we should chew before we swallow. That's why we should watch before we leap. Because you can take a leap that will destroy your life. And they say, if I had known, because that's what comes last. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit is key. If you want to walk safely, it's very, very important that you understand this topic of guidance of the Holy Spirit, which many Christians don't even have an idea how it happens. And so they don't follow his guidance. Because it's not primary in their mind. It's not something that they live conscious of every day. It's not something that they live and know that this is what has to be happening in my life 24/7. So there are two main ways that the Holy Spirit will guide us. There are other ways we discuss today, but there are two main ways. Let me remove the word main and use common. Two common ways that he will guide us. Number one is through the scriptures. And number two is through the inward witness of the Spirit, through your spirit. Number one is through the scriptures. Number two is the inward witness of the Holy Spirit through your own spirit. Number one is what? Number two is what? Number one is what? Number two is what? The reason that these are the two main ways is that the other means through which it guides us is not something that you can pull up on the spot. For instance, if you're waiting to have a dream to know what to do in everything, then you won't know what to do. Because you have to, okay, if I'm driving and I need to make a decision, do I wait to sleep, have a dream? I know what to do. There are things that happen to you in life and you need spontaneous response. You can't wait to have vision to be able to respond. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You can't wait to have being a trance to be able to respond. But by instant witnessing of the Holy Spirit, you will know what to do. And by the scripture coming up in your mind, you will know this is what the scripture says. So these are the main two ways, because they are the things that apply to us at any time we need to know the direction of God in this matter. Again, let me repeat that. The two ways that he guides us, the two common ways, let me use the word common. The two commonest ways is number one, what? The what? Scripture. Number two, what? Okay, now let me ask you a question. Between the scripture and the inward witnessing, which one do you think it comes to you commonest? Huh? Huh? How many people say scripture? You're not sure. How many people say scripture? Okay, put down your hand. How many people say inward witnessing? The inward witnessing comes to you commoner. Because sometimes you forget the scripture. In the heat of situation, your mind can go blank. Am I right? Yeah. You can face a situation and your mind goes blank. You can be in the heat of something. Before you know it, you are in the middle of an argument. The scripture is important. It's one way. But in the business of life, sometimes we don't always remember. And again, there are certain decisions that the scripture didn't give you any specific direction about. Do I marry Jane? Do I marry? The scripture doesn't tell me. So you see, the most common one is that inward witness what? Inward witness of the Holy Spirit through your spirit. The scripture is important, is a major way of guidance, But in the business of life, in practical life situations, you don't always remember what the scripture says. And there are situations where the scripture did not tell us specifically what to do. Do I live in Orange? Do I live in West Orange? The scripture didn't say so. So the commonest of it all is the one that ministers to you spontaneously there, who in the midst of confusion comes to you. Do I live in Orange? It guides you. Do I go to West Orange? It guides you. Do I do this? It takes care of all those nitty-gritty areas that the scripture does not tell you specifically what the will of God is. So now, if I come along and ask you, I said, what are the two main ways, the word main is okay, the two common ways, two main ways that God guides us, what are they? The scripture and what? So which one of them is commoner? The inward witnessing. Why? Because it can happen any place. And number two, there are certain details of life that the scripture does not tell you what. Amen. So we're going to deal with these two. Then after these two, we go to the other ones that the Holy Spirit uses to guide us. But he chooses when to use it and how to use it. You can't rely on those ones on day-to-day basis. Like I said, if I depend on vision, that won't do much. It means if I want to do anything, I must have a vision. So it's a way of guidance, but not a common way of guidance. You may not have vision in 6 weeks, in 6 months. You may not have dreams in 1 month. Does it mean you are not living your life and making decisions? So we're going to discuss them, but the two commonest ones, the two main ones, is the scripture and the inward what? Witnessing. Now, before we go on, I want to make a point here that when you are dealing with spiritual realities, please listen to me, by dealing with spiritual truths, your feelings and flesh is useless. That's why when you hear people say, I feel the anointing, get away from them. You can feel it. I'm not saying you won't feel it. But that's not what confirms that is the anointing of God. Because sometimes we get good sprinkles out of emotional hee-haw. At the end of the day, it's bubble. It's nothing there. Just ministers to your emotion. Do you know, out of your emotion, you can have good sprinkles. Am I right? Yeah. It may not be the Holy Spirit. So when it comes to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual guidance, your feeling is irrelevant. Everything in the flesh is irrelevant. Why? The Bible says we walk not by sight. And if the Holy Spirit said we don't walk by sight, then he won't guide you by sight. He says we walk by faith. And faith is about things that are not seen. Number two, is that the flesh profits what? Nothing. So if the flesh profits nothing, the Holy Spirit will not engage it to guide us. Unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, we rely on the flesh and thinking that the Holy Spirit is guiding me by how I feel. Say, I feel the anointing here. I feel God answered me. So if I don't feel anything, I think God has not answered my prayer. And if you can win yourself of those kind of dependence, then you can really know how God guides you. Spiritual things, really. If you can train yourself to stop relying on your flesh, then you can be led of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, your flesh will guide you to destruction. A lot of people have followed the flesh, lost money, lost businesses, lost so many things. And they say, I thought it was God. For instance, God, you don't know that God answers your prayer by what you see, or by what you say, by what you feel. You know it because he said so. Any other thing is irrelevant. Because his word is what he follows. But when it comes to natural realities, you follow your senses. For instance, if you are coming to church and the car is moving towards you, you don't say, ah, no, I'm not going to walk by sight. No, you're wrong. Because this is natural reality. This is natural what? So when it comes to natural realities, God gave us these senses for the natural life we live. But not for spiritual truth. Because God is a spirit. So when it comes and you see a rat in your house, you better find a trap. The thing will eat your rice if you don't kill it. So when it comes to natural things, common sense tells us that these things are not useless. They are useful for natural realm. So if you are driving home tonight, you can't say, Pastor said, we don't walk by sight. And then you close your eyes. You will be in an accident. So when it comes to natural realities, our natural senses are very useful. That's why God gave them to us. Because we contact this natural world with our physical. But when it comes to spiritual truth, which we're talking about now, the natural senses are totally useless. Actually, they don't even mix. They don't cross paths at all. Now, if the Christian, we know how to divide the spirit and the soul, he will be fine. Very, very fine. And the devil will lose one of the ways through which he deals with Christians and gets them so disappointed, and they lose confidence in the gospel. Lose confidence in God because it's not working. It's not working. It's not. It's just not working. And then sweep things under the carpet because it's not working. But it works all the time. It works all the time. So if you engage your flesh in the things of the spirit, God says no. That which is born of the flesh is what? But that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. And God is a spirit. God is not flesh. Amen. Now, I wanted to make that clarification so that we can understand what we are talking about. So now, let's talk about the guidance by the scriptures. Psalm 119 Verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. What does it say? Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That should be clear enough. That the word of God is for guidance, to guide my feet and to show the path I follow. Amen. So, how does he do this? There is the public teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, like we are doing now. Like we are doing now. So, Ephesians 4:11. And he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. You see what we said at the beginning, that there is always this trap. Lay in wait like a thief to deceive. And it's deceit because it looks like what you are used to. It looks like what looks like. No different. But underneath it is poison. And so he said that God gave to the church pastors, teachers, all this, that their work is to build, it defy the body until they come, they mature in faith and they come to perfect knowledge, good, correct, interpretative knowledge of the Son of God. So, the Holy Spirit gives the church people that he has anointed and given the gift to be able to teach these things. Now, what is the work, what is the responsibility of the members of the church? To be there. To be there. Now, the enemy shows up and says, you don't have to be there. Yeah. You know what I'm telling you, people? As we live in the last days, it's going to be more difficult to be a Christian. I see what's happening. I'm telling you the truth of the matter. Very difficult to be a Christian. And the Holy Spirit says so. Because the devil is tricky. He's a deceiver. God says, I put people to teach you. Don't forget the assembling of yourselves. What? Go there. Be there. And the devil says, you don't have to be there. And then you turn around and expect the best. I will show you from scripture what it does to people. Out of two things, which one will you do? The one that God told you to do or the one that you decide to do? Tell me, church. The Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, in everything you do, acknowledge what God says. All my years of Christianity, this is where I started to learn. This is where I realized early in my Christian life that if you want to make progress with God, you must be a fool. You can't have your own wisdom no more. It's gone. Because is it my wisdom? Will it be better than his own? I already said my wisdom will look foolish to you. But it will put crown of what? Ornament of glory on your head and prolong your life. And he says the principal thing, you better pursue it. Pursue it above everything else. Praise the Lord. So this is the first, the public ministry of the Holy Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul was writing to the church in the Hebrew church. He told them what their problem was. He said exactly what I'm talking about. It didn't start today. Hebrew 5:11. When he was talking about the priesthood of Jesus Christ, all those important things. He said, Hebrew 5:11, I'm reading New Living Translation. There is much more we would like to say about this. Look at that. He said, I have more to teach you, but I won't. Look at that. He says, I'm talking of Hebrew 5. Ephesians is not what we are reading. Hebrew 5:11. There is much more we would like to say about this. Much more I would like to say about this. But it is difficult to explain it to you, especially since you are spiritually what? Dull, and don't seem to, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear. You're not interested in hearing it. And you're spiritually dull, which means you have spiritual learning disability. Now, let me pull that one out. Let me take it out. Lord, no, sorry. It's not what you said. No, sorry. Lord, I take it out. That's me. It's not you. So let me say exactly what you said. What you said, he said, no, that's not what I said. I said, yeah, that's what he said is, Lord, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Especially since you are spiritually what? Dull. That's what he said. What does it mean to be dull? Slow to, inactive. Inactive. Slow to learn. Say, you don't want to listen. You are not interested. He said, so these things that the Spirit of God wants to teach you, he's not going to teach you. Because you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear. And then you go around and find that Christians don't, I'm telling you the truth, we even have to engage in spiritual warfare. Look at what we've been teaching here about spiritual warfare. Do we know that the gospel is a weapon of warfare? Where have you heard it? The gospel is what you use to attack the devil at the base, get into his camp and depopulate it. The gospel is so powerful. How many people preach it? How many people engage? But we don't preach it. But we turn around and we're grumbling and murmuring about the evil of the day. I don't know why the scripture says we should go and grumble and murmur about the evil of the day. What we're told to do is preach the gospel. Can I hear amen? How effective are we where God has positioned us in your place of work to bring godly influence there? How effective are we? Brethren, let's be real. How effective are we in our place of work? Is it not what we look at is the salary they pay that comes? Why did God give me this job? Why am I here? How effective are we in bringing godly influence, divine influence, the influence of Jesus? Well. All we look at is the dollar. The reason is that the Christian is immature. And I'll read it to you here. It hasn't grown. So he doesn't understand the things of God. That he's not there because of dollar. He's there because of the kingdom of God. He doesn't know why he's there. He thinks he's there because of dollar. No. You're there because God said, I'm the one that sent you. Jesus said, I've sent what? Sent you. I sent you there. Among them. Said, there are wolves. Sure, I sent you among the wolves. That's where you should go now. And you can talk to yourself and see how Christians are trooping around, looking for help. Trooping around and looking for help that is not coming. Trooping around. I'm not kidding. They can travel distances. And at the end of it, nothing. All that is within reach. There's nothing from God that is far from us. Nothing. Because he has given us all things that pertain to life and what? It's not far from us. Paul said, the God you are looking for is not far from us. But because we won't listen to the Holy Spirit, he says, I wanted to tell you more, but I'm not telling you. Because you're not excited about this. You don't want to hear it. So I'm not telling you. Look at verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. You have been believers so long. Look at that. See, you've been believers how long? So long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again. Following is happening there. It's happening there. He said, you should know what you are doing by now. You should be the one talking to people, not you being led around. Okay. The basic things about God's word, you are like babies who need milk and cannot eat what? You can't handle challenges. You don't know how to handle challenges. That's what it means. You can't handle challenges. You are babies. Neither can you handle responsibilities. And they say you've been Christians long time. But all this why you've been dull, hearing, you don't want to listen. The next verse, please. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is what? Right. That's the point. Can we put a new King James Version there? Okay, it's all right. It's all right. Oh, no, go back to New Living Translation. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Go back to verse 13. So he doesn't know. For anyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of what? For he's a babe. Verse 14. 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between what? The guidance of the Spirit becomes clear for them. They are led of the Spirit. They know what the Spirit is saying. They know where it's going. They know this is wrong. This is the Holy Spirit. They understand it because they have matured. They have matured. My little angel came to spend the 2 days or so with us. The best days I've had this year is to pass time with my little grandchildren. So I have fun. Very wonderful fun. So my grandma called me and said, my little girl doesn't want to shower. And then she deceased. When she woke up, she said, I don't even want to wear clothes. I want to wear only obante. And then we didn't want to bother her. Nobody bothered. After finally they put clothes, convinced her to wear clothes. It was fun to me. I enjoyed myself. So it's a long time I had children, so it was good. So they convinced her to wear clothes, and she wore. And then she was having fun. And then to shower was now the last trouble. She said, I'm not showering. And grandma called me and said, come and see you. Your little girl wants to shower. So we came up and said, hey, Oge wants to shower. All of us were clapping. Go, Oge, go, Oge. He ran into the shower. Pada, 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 pada. Before, she said, I'm not showering. But we all came together and said, go, Oge, go, Oge. Oge wants to shower. Say, Grandpa, do you see Oge wants to shower? Yeah, that's my girl. Pada, 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 pada. She ran inside. And then she was right to shower. And then she used the sponge to sponge herself very well. That's her age. If you didn't do that, she won't shower the whole day. That's her age. To discern good and bad is not her stuff. That's how it is spiritually. Spiritual baby needs all this clapping all the time. they see what I'm doing in church. Pastor didn't even say thank you. So pastor come here, go. Sister, go, go, go. Get it. Are you following me? And go to our families and see where immaturity is displayed. Seriously displayed. We come to church where we wear good dresses, but we go home, it's a different matter. Because we can't discern between good and bad. It's those who are mature by reason of use. They're mature because they listened They mature because they are not dull. They are not treating this thing. They are treating it as very important. And that thing that God said, I wanted to tell you, but I'm not. God will not tell them. Praise the Lord. So that's what happens when we decide to run our lives ourselves. God says, there are things I wanted to tell you, but I will not. Because you are dull at hearing, you don't want to listen to me, you are not interested in what I'm saying. I've always said this, and if you want, see, a pastor, if you pastor a church, you can always tell those who will go far with God and those who will not. It's easy to tell. You don't have to be a rocket scientist, you know. Because you see those who will go far, things of God, they don't joke with it. They pay incredible price. I'm not kidding. They pay, man, they don't joke with it. I'm not talking of Pharisaic attitude. I'm talking of they are interested. They really want it. Watch those people. Just watch them. You'll see a meteoric rise spiritually. But watch all these people who are dollar hearing, who drag themselves and do things at their leisure. They are going nowhere. I don't care if the post they gave you. You're going nowhere. Amen? Did you get anything? Huh? He that has ear to hear. You know, it was here. Pastor Sinadi's wife was sharing on Sunday. Terrific teaching. Man, terrific teaching. She was sharing on Sunday. I love to hear that guy preach. Sharing on Sunday. He said, you know, he said, you can be a Christian for many years and not know anything. See, he said, I was a Christian for many years. I was miserable. She was sharing her life here. Chris, I don't know what Chris was. He said, I came to this church. He said, this church, I'm from Haiti. So I said to my husband, what are we doing here? And my husband said, there is the truth here, so I'm staying. He said, I stayed. He said, before long, I began to hear something. And I gave myself totally to it. He said, I didn't hear the English. I wasn't able to speak, only French. And all. But because I wanted that thing, I began to put interest in speaking English. I wanted it. I knew I needed to know these things. He said, it wasn't long I found the truth in Christ and there was freedom for me. He said, all the misery of my life disappeared. All the sentence of doctors, they told me, you won't have a baby. You're done. Everything disappeared. He said, my life became a flourishing life. If you listen to her preach today, you know that what she's saying is true. And they said, because we hear, he said, we come, everything, because I was valuing that thing. He said, Daddy, there was one day we came, it was Holy Communion, and we were teaching about the Holy Communion. Listen to this. He said, we were teaching, and I was listening. I was listening. I wanted to know. He said, and you taught about what Christ has done. And you said, there's somebody here, you have pain. And he said, that day, Daddy, I came, I had pain. My husband didn't know. So I dragged my leg. It's a terrible pain. I couldn't. He said, inside I sat, it was so painful. And you said, there's somebody here, you have pain, so terrible pain. He said, put your hand where that pain is. He said, you know, I put my hand in, start, let's stop. You know why? Because she was honoring the word of God. She was listening. God said, if you honor me, I honor you. Because she was interested. He said, Daddy, immediately I put my hand there, that was it. See what we miss? Because we are wise unto our own eyes. And God says, no. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge that it's God. Then he will start from there. Bring it to God. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. See the announcement I was making here, that every program should be evangelistic now. You got to invite people, got to get people saved. Everything that is not soul winning, forget it. It has to be soul winning. That's the main thing. And then Pastor Tunde told me, he said, Pastor, I listened to that sermon and I listened to what you said. And I went and told them in our church. Listen to this. He said, I told them in our church that every program now has to be evangelistic focused. And they say, that's what our daddy said in our headquarters church. Well, this is their headquarters church. He said, so we're going to do invitational evangelism. So we print card, then we invite people. So that's what we're going to do. And then the second church that we just planted in Ikorodu too, they did the same thing. You see where being humble works. Just because they had it, they said, okay, that's what we're supposed to be doing. They had 39 visitors, 14 salvation. Ikorodu has 7 salvation because they had what was said 8,000 miles away and did it. 8,000 miles away and did it. 14 souls were saved. 7 saved in Ikorodu. 7 plus 14, what is it? 21. Because people are humble. People are humble. They want to listen. They are not dull. They are excited. They want to know. And the Spirit of God used them to get just like that. That church in Ikorodu, they are 39 now. They just started. That the church, part of the church, was sending money to help establish. That 39, they just started. I think 2 Sundays or so they are now. Praise the Lord. So number 2 thing is the Spirit of God opens our eyes of understanding. He opens our eyes of understanding. That's the second way he guides us to the scripture. The first one is the teaching, which we do publicly. Number 2 is he now gives us the revelation, which only him can give. Ephesians 1:18. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is. That our eyes of understanding should be enlightened, should be opened, so we can know. So we can know. So we can know. Only the Spirit of God can do that. Luke 24, 45. Luke 24, 45. Luke 24. Can we read it together, everybody? Let's read it together, everybody. Let's go. And he what? Opened their understanding that they might now comprehend the scripture. If he didn't open it, they will not. And if you are not interested, he won't. If you don't want, he won't. He said, the things I wanted to tell you, I'm not telling you again because you are not interested. You are dull here. If you don't want, he won't open. You read this Bible with your intellectualism. No faith will come out of it. No result. Your life won't even change. The same way you were when you got saved, you'll still be the same. No change. Brethren, let me tell you. You know, there's these 2 twins that preached the gospel in London, in Britain. In 18-something. Charles. Nothing. There are 2 brothers. They were very evangelistic. They started the Methodist church also. Charles. Charles Wesley and the brother, yes. Charles Wesley and the brother. He came to America to do evangelism. Listen to this. And failed. He didn't get one soul. Nobody saved. So he and the brother were going back in the ship. And they met a group of Christians who sat them down and taught them about salvation. They came out of enthusiasm. They were not saved. So in that ship, they came to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord. and went back to England and was preaching it on the pulpit in an Anglican church. Midway in their sermon, they drove him out. And he went to the father's grave and stood there and continued the sermon. And the Holy Spirit brought people. Right there. And then the man said that he has not realized that many people who go to church are not Christians. He said, because he was like that for many years. He said, because if you are a Christian and you have Christ in you, he said, there's no way your life will not change. There's no way. Amen. I said amen. So if the Holy Spirit does not open your eyes, you stay the way you are. If he doesn't open my eyes, I said, I pray to God, I said, Lord, you know I don't amount to anything. I don't know anything, Lord. So I said, Lord, please, it's your mercy, I trust. I said, oh, I tell God all the time, I said, Lord, see me, I don't amount to nothing. I have nothing to be proud of in this my life. It's your mercy. It's your grace, please. I don't even know much. But I need for you to teach me and open my what? Eyes. Lest I perish. Lest I'm deceived and go the way of the source. I pray that prayer most of the time. I say, Lord, I don't have wisdom. Don't know anything. If I'm coming to like this, I said to the Lord, I can't even teach this thing. I said, I can't teach it. I don't know what to say. Except you do that, well gone. Finished. And you're the builder of your church. So I said, I'll take myself out through into your mercy. I said, I'm going there just trust. I don't know anything. If you seek, you will find. Amen? If it's important to you, he will open your eyes. But you know there are some people who don't want their eyes opened. Acts 28:27. For the hearts of these people are hardened. I'm reading New Living Translation. Acts 28:27, right? New Living. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed. See what they've done? They've closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. They closed it. They decided, I'm not hearing this. I don't want to hear that. You know a lot of people are like that. They want to run with their own wisdom. Close their eyes. Close their heart. My prayer is that none of us is like that. The Bible said it is with meekness. Meekness is easily entreated. It's with meekness. With meekness. That this word is engrafted in our heart. It's with meekness. Yeah. Now, there's this important truth for us to note, that any guidance of the Holy Spirit, any guidance of the Holy Spirit that is not underwritten by Scripture, that is not concurred by Scripture, it's not from the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. Any guidance of the Holy Spirit that is contrary to the written word of God is the devil. Why? God and his word is the same. Amen? In the beginning was the word, and the word is God. So if he deviates from the word, it's not God. And I don't care whether it's a bishop that said it. And to be honest with you, Sometimes the devil uses this title to deceive people. So he's the man of God. Paul knew the man of God. He confronted Peter. He said, this thing you are doing is not the gospel. Read your Bible. He confronted. He said, I'm called for the defense of the gospel. He said, what you are doing, Peter, is not the gospel. Because people will be deceived by this thing. First John 5, 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Case closed. Isaiah 8, 19. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead with their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Verse 20. Look to God's what? Instructions. I'm reading New Living Translation. You are in New King James Version. Look to God's what? Instructions and teachings. People who contradict his word are completely where? In the dark. Don't care who that person is. Now, the second one I want to talk about before we go is the guidance of the inward witnessing. Romans 8, 16. Romans 8 what? The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are, you know. So the Holy Spirit bears witness through your spirit about the truth of God. In Luke 1, 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. To guide our feet into the way, into, to guide us to the path of what? Peace. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. That light guides our feet in the path of what? Peace. So the witnessing of the Holy Spirit that we have inside is the guidance of peace that we have. The peace of God. The peace of what? Of God. Now in Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will what? Will what? Guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Can you give me King James Version? Or New King James Version? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, guides us through the peace of God. It's not the peace of the world. It's the peace of God. It garrisons your heart. So which means if I want to go to if I want to go to here, can you see me? Are you seeing me, everybody? Eh? If I want to go to this flower, and inside of me, that peace is not there. What is the Holy Spirit saying? Don't go there. But that peace passeth all. So I don't even know why. And the flower looks beautiful. It looks awesome. But you say, hey, this peace passes your understanding. Is greater than your what? All understanding. And then President Dokure comes and said, Pastor, you know that flower? Hey! It's so wonderful. You've never seen any. It smells so nice. In short, I will tell you 10 people that took it and their house smelling so good. He said, my peace passeth all understanding. All of that understanding doesn't match my peace. Because I know the end from the beginning. So that peace, and you're going, and somehow you feel disturbed. You see, the peace is not there. So he guides you in the path of peace. Then you turn and say, okay, I'm not going. I don't understand it. But this peace passeth all understanding. So I'll follow it. And then immediately you turn around, it's like something settles. But the direction you are going, there's nothing there. But you say, that peace passeth what? So you can't match that peace with your own understanding, with your own knowledge, with anybody's knowledge. Because it's the peace of God. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. And we do experience it all the time. But because we don't know the importance, we brush it aside and go and run into trouble. And say, oh my God, I wish I didn't. Amen. I said amen. So that's the word witnessing of the Holy Spirit. The next time we'll be able to go further and talk about guidance through our conscience. And then some other ways that he guides us. But before I go, I want to talk about the general ability to perceive things, which this is not really as such guidance of the Spirit. This is the ability you have as a human being, as somebody who has the Spirit of God in him. You should be able to perceive things now. By your spirit, you should be able to perceive things. Look at Acts 27, 9. Are we not alive in the spirit? Come on now. Yeah. Acts 27, 9. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I do what? Perceive. He didn't say God told me. He said, I perceive that this voyage we end up with disaster and much loss. Not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives. He said, I perceive. Verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsmen, the people who know how to do ship, and the owner of the ship, than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, opening towards the southwest, the northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly initially, the wind was soft, supposing that they had obtained their desire now, putting out the sea to sea, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous head wind arose. Initially, the wind was soft. But Paul said, I perceive trouble. I'll give you an example. See, when we got saved on a Thursday. I don't forget, on a Thursday. So on Sunday, because I was a member of the committee of our church, on a Sunday I felt obligated to go back there. Because that's the church of, denomination, the family attends. So I was obligated to go there. I went there with my wife, and we got in there. Immediately I stepped in there. In my spirit, I perceived that this is a dead place. I didn't need anybody to tell me anything. She perceived the same thing. Immediately we got in there, the place was like dead. This is a place that I will go before. It was like what? I just got saved. I don't know anything about this. I perceived in my spirit that this is not where it should be. I tapped her. He said, get out of here. I said, I'm leaving here. Immediately we left. I said, yeah, something is wrong. Perceived it by my spirit. I just got saved on Thursday and on Sunday because my spirit is now alive. Your spirit is alive. When you die, that's what lives now. That's the one that lives. It's alive. It talks. When you pray in the spirit, who is praying? Is it not your spirit? Yeah, your spirit. Your spirit is praying. When a man dies, is it not your spirit that lives? Yeah. We left. Never went back again. Never. Till today. Never. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. It's practice that makes you understand a lot of this. We went twice. Oh, we went the second time. Okay. My wife said, no, we went back the second time. I forgot it's a long time. So the second time we left, right? We left two different times. But we left. Okay. Second time, we left. But at least we left. Whether first time, second time, doesn't matter. The important thing is we what? Second time, first time, makes no difference to me. We left. But we perceived it. And there's something you perceive. There are some things you perceive in your spirit. Ah, come on, are we not human? There are things you perceive in your spirit. I can't put my finger in destiny. But my spirit perceives. There are people you deal with who perceive things in your spirit. Praise the Lord. Ask me questions. Because this is very important. If you don't ask me, I'll ask you. Go in. Yeah? Huh? I can't hear you. It's not a feeling, anything. It's just annoying. It's simply annoying your spirit that something is wrong. It's not the peace thing. It's just annoying that comes from nowhere. It's just annoying. You don't know it all, but sometimes you know that something is wrong with this. It's annoying. Let me put it that way. Yeah. It's annoying. You just know that this thing is not yeah, you just know, but you can't know all the details. But somehow you perceive it in your spirit. What's the meaning of perceiving? To discern, to sense, a gut feel. You have this gut feeling in your. Some things to describe it is really tough. But experience will tell. But we have experienced it now. You say, man, I have a gut feeling about this. He just somehow know that this thing is somehow, you have this gut feeling. How many of you have experienced that? You can't put your finger on it. You don't know exactly what, you don't know the details. But somehow, you know that something is wrong. Uche, did you have a question? Yeah. I wish I can hear you.
Where you said that the inward witness is more common than you can hear me.
Yeah. No.
I just needed
it. It's not feeling.
I just wanted a little clarity there.
The inward witness is about peace. It's not feeling. The peace that passeth what? It's not feeling. If it's feeling, then that peace will make a difference. Because you have that peace even when you don't feel right. That's what I was trying to demonstrate here. I said, this flower looks good. So I feel like it's awesome. And to him, it's also awesome. And everybody's saying, it's awesome. But somehow I have a contrary, I'm disturbed. My spirit is disturbed. It's not feeling. Because it's not your flesh. If it's your flesh, you follow them. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. If it's your flesh, you follow your friends now because it feels good. Now. And that's why I said it passes all understanding. So it doesn't follow understanding. You don't even understand it, but somehow you have no peace within. It's not feeling. It's called the peace of God. And Jesus said, my peace I give, not as the world gives.
No, it was at the beginning when you were trying to differentiate the scripture, the Holy Spirit guiding us with the scripture, and the Holy Spirit guiding us with the inward witness.
You heard differently because the inward witness I spoke, the last one. I spent all my time talking about the scripture.
Okay.
The inward witness I just spoke a few minutes ago.
Okay.
But what I mean, Uche, and I don't, your question is very relevant though. Very, very relevant. I thank God you asked it. What I mean though is that the scripture is very important in guidance, but we don't always remember it. In the heat of things, we don't always remember it. And many people don't read much. They don't read much. And then there are issues in life that the scripture doesn't give us specific guidance. So I say there's two major ways they guide us, the scripture and the inward what? Witness. But the inward witnessing is the one that can happen more common. It's more common because, you know, the scripture is, it's okay, it guides us, but you know, as I know, that our mind can be clogged up in circumstance sometimes, then you forget scripture. But somehow you lose peace about what you are doing. Then when you get yourself together, the scripture can come up to authenticate that peace. You know, to be honest with you, sometimes we don't remember scripture. Am I right? Come on now. Which am I right? Yeah, sometimes because we faith, the enemy can test us severely, you know. And then again, there are certain things that happen and we really don't have exact information from the Bible what to do. Then what witness comes. So that's the commoner one because it applies in virtually every situation. Right? Did it answer your question? Huh? I'm now joining your evangelism ministry. Do you have a question? Onyeka.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is about you read Hebrews 5:11, where by reason of use, you learn to discern right from wrong. Like you learn to follow the Holy Spirit. Is it like a trial and error thing?
No, it's not a trial and error. The use thing is you read scripture, you practice it. You read scripture, you what? Practice. The more you do, the more you're able to know how the scripture tracks for you. But if you're not using, if you're not practicing what you're taught, because in that place it talks about teaching you to have knowledge. So if you're not practicing what you're taught, you can't grow in it. You still be a babe. So it's really a practice thing. Using is to put it to practice by reason of action. Then you grow and mature. If you load up information without practicing it, you are still a baby. It is practicing that brings the reality of the scripture to you. Do you get it? This will be the last one. Now some of you are mothers, you need to go home and warm your soup. Somebody needs to hear you.
I raised my hand before you.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
So
that's
I'm,
my wife.
When I'm done, you know, because I just wanted to, you know, to make sure that, like what Sister Carol was saying, that maybe if she wasn't understanding, not the understanding that you're saying that, you know, that the Holy Spirit, sorry, I mean, that he pays, that, I mean, trying to say that maybe the scripture, the prompting by the Holy Spirit is maybe the one that is more handy to us. That one is more important than the scripture.
No, that's not what it was saying.
So So, no, but what I'm trying to bring out is the fact that the two are equally important, but the one that comes more handy to us is the inward witnessing. The two are equally important, but the one that comes more handy, because it can happen anytime, and you don't even have any scripture, you don't have your Bible around to even start checking, and even if you have your Bible, you don't. Where will you start? So that inward witnessing comes more prompting. But then if you're still in doubt, then check out with the scriptures, because that scripture will now authenticate that thing that the Spirit of God is prompting you or is putting in your heart.
We already said that. We said that every guidance of the Spirit must be authenticated by what? By the scripture. That's what we said. Okay. Charity begins at home. Chris, after you go and see the bathroom behind.
So is no that water. Authentication that I was trying to...
Sit down now, creature.
So talk, think about, because can that inward witness be interfered by the flesh? As some people or someone may be thinking some thoughts or know some things and then confuse it with inward witness.
Of course,
from
because
their own flesh.
Yeah, right.
The need for the scriptural authentication.
You do, but again, if you don't practice it, you will not grow in it. We grow in everything. Even to know the inward witnessing, you start practicing it consciously. Then you begin to now design it better and better. But if it doesn't bother you, you don't practice it. It's not even you're not conscious of it. How do you feel it?
Just like Samuel.
Like Samuel
when he was being talked about.
Yeah. So if you are conscious of this inward witnessing and you start practicing it more and more, you recognize the reality, the distinction, the way it works, is by reason of practice, by use. But if you're not conscious of it and you don't bother about it, like we read, hard, dull at hearing, don't want to listen, and then you go out and be doing whatever. How do you grow in it? How do you know it is? You get confused more and more. I think I've taken all the questions. Okay, one more question. My daughter.
Okay. My question is, I know that once you're born again, that the spirit you have, the Spirit of God lives in you, it moves in you. And my question is, because sometimes you have some, like, troubling questions, and you ask, you know, Daddy, I want to ask, and do you always have an answer immediately from the Holy Spirit when you ask?
Sometimes, yes.
Always, like, spontaneous?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. Okay. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, no. Sometimes, he answers you in the Bible class.
Okay.
Sometimes, your mind is not ready for it. He knows.
Okay.
That for now, you are anxious and he allows you to calm down.
Can we switch to inward witness?
Anywhere he wants to guide you is up to him.
Okay.
You don't tell him what to do.
Okay.
But some of the time when I ask God's question, sometimes I don't get the answer immediately.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll be talking with, like, brothers and sisters. He starts addressing that thing without knowing.
Oh.
He starts talking to me along that line. And the Lord said, listen to him. The reason is because he's told me that before.
Yeah.
And I won't pay attention. So a lot of factors play into this thing. There are things he's been telling you, won't listen. You start asking, it keeps quiet. And then somebody else will not, yeah, the Lord told me, oh,
thank you.
Are we getting anything at all? This will be the last.
So mine is not really a question. It's really an ask. Because, you know, based on everything you're teaching us, it appears as though, you know, being able to live our lives by that inward witnessing is really critical. I think it's what's going to really make, if we do that well, if we practice it very well, it's really going to help us really walk in the way that God wants us to work and, you know, live our lives to the maximum capacity.
Absolutely.
So if we can spend, you know, a lot more teaching on that, you know, just focusing on that so we can all learn to live that way.
Since it's my daughter, I would do that. Okay, so did we get anything? Yeah. So we go home and listen to these things again and again. That's how you understand it better. And then pray that God will open your eyes and teach you the more. Because we talked about the Holy Spirit open our eyes of understanding. So you get it better. Amen? All right. So am I still your pastor? Or am I fired? No. Let's rise up. Pastor.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.